Ramsey TV.
You would think I would figure out by now why my headphones check in and out. Sometimes you might see me fussing down here to the left with my little transponder thing, whatever you call it. I don't know. What do you call this thing? You don't know either. Okay, great. I chew on it when I'm editing, and I don't even realize it. Many of you know I chew on paper towels whenever I get the chance. Whenever I'm writing or editing, whenever I'm deep in thought, I have to do something with my mouth. And for years, I chewed my shirts. And then I would find holes in my shirts right about here, in all my shirts. And I literally did not know how the holes got there. Couldn't figure it out. Thought there was some very consistent moths. They must love that spot. The moths, they go right for the spot. Then I realized I was chewing on my shirts. So I got to do something about this. So I started chewing on paper towels. Then I would get lightheaded and dizzy. Hey, man, what happened? And I realized I was taking in too much bleach. Yeah, I was sucking all the bleach out of the paper towels. Hey, man, this bleach is driving me wild. I didn't know it was bleach. Then I realized it was bleach. So then I had to get organic paper towels. So I did. But I'd go through a roll and a week. Those things are kind of expensive. So I started chewing on my wire. How smart is that? Start chewing on my wire like this. Like this. Watch it. See? You see me? Chew on my wire. And then I wonder, literally wonder, why is this going in and out? All right. Well, God calls the unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid, as you know. And Exhibit A speaking with you today. This is Martin Zender. Welcome to MCTV, the end of the week. Going to be a big show. Today, I try to make every show a big show, but it's always nice if I can end the week with a bang. There's something called the Big Five Wildlife, Big Five. There's a national park called Kruger National Park in South Africa, and it advertises access to the Big Five. What are the Big Five? The Big Five are the greatest wildlife species that you can see. That probably roam the earth. That roam the earth. And they can be seen in the Kruger National Park in South Africa. The Big Five. You got your lion. You got your leopard. You got your elephant. Your rhino. And your buffalo. That is the Big Five. Well, I am going to see your lion, leopard, elephant, rhino, and buffalo. And I am going to raise you the sovereignty of God. The eons. The reconciliation of the universe, the two gospels, and the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's right. Compared to the lion, the leopard, the elephant, the rhino, and the buffalo, this is big. This is really big. And I want you to go into the weekend realizing how blessed you are to know all of these things. I went through several ministries in my early days as I was slowly learning the truth. As you know, one of my most serious ministries that I listened to was a man named Ray Prenzing, and he was a kingdom teacher. He taught the kingdom of God on earth. He was big into the Israelite identity. He was Pentecostal. He was an ex-Assemblies of God guy. He got the sovereignty of God. That's on this list. I'm going to go through every great truth on this list. Call it the Big Five. Ray knew about the sovereignty of God, and he knew about the salvation of all. So I learned a lot, and I'm thankful for Ray. Since deceased, and so is his wife, Doris. As I told you, my in-laws who introduced me to Ray Prenzing, they used to follow him around, and I had hundreds of his tapes. I'd put them in the old cassette player in my car going to and from the post office where I worked from Greenwich to Willard, Ohio. I did that from 1984 through 1992. But in 86, I became acquainted with the Concordant Publishing Concern, so I tapped into that. Many of you tell the same story of how you graduate. You find maybe the truth of the sovereignty of God or the salvation of all from L. Ray Smith. A lot of you have come through L. Ray Smith or Gary Amaral, Tent Maker. Some of you got it from Jerry Boschman by reading the book, what's the name of his book? The Salvation of All? No. At the End of the Eons? No. Something. Oh, Hope Beyond Hell. I don't like the word hope, but anyway, yeah. A great book. A scriptural analysis of why eternal torment is wrong. Then you found me. And as much as I respect these other teachers, they did not have every piece in place. Ray Prinzing, for instance, knew nothing of the two Gospels. I never heard him once mention the word eon, but to be fair, I think he did mention the word ages. And I'm not sure how he was on the Trinity, to be honest with you. That falls into the death of Christ category. But the big thing Ray was missing, Ray Prinzing, was the two Gospels. So he was always mixing up Paul. And this is serious. That's why it's one of the big five. What would it be? The lion, the leopard? This would be the elephant, I would say. The elephant in the room is the two Gospels. I'm not going to spend time telling you what other teachers lack, but I just, the only reason I'm doing it is so you can appreciate where you are, what God has done with you. L. Ray Smith, nobody better on the sovereignty of God. L. Ray Smith loved the sovereignty of God. He wrote some great articles, and he sent those articles to me back in the early 90s to edit. So I edited some of L. Ray Smith's work. We would talk on the phone all the time. Lovely guy. He would send me giant boxes of M&Ms because I had said in one of my early broadcasts, what was that early broadcast called? Zender Talk. Yeah, Zender Talk. They're still available on my website. Go to martinzender.com. Scroll down the left side. You'll see Zender Talk, their audios. That's first my first foray. Is that? Yeah, that's what it is. My first foray into broadcasting. L. Ray Smith learned from one of my shows that I liked M&Ms, and he would send me boxes and boxes of M&Ms. Sweet guy, since deceased from cancer. But we had our fallout because he did not see the two Gospels. He was a preterist, thought God was finished with Israel, and so these are very serious flaws. Another friend of mine, we would watch this guy. I can't remember the name of the website, but there's this guy who's really the best I've ever heard on the two Gospels. I mean, he knows the ins and outs of the apparent contradictions, and I learned a lot, and he had a great catalog of videos. If I could think of them, I would tell you. I'm not hesitant to send anybody there. But amazingly, this guy still believed in eternal torment. Incredible. Still believed in eternal torment. And my friend and I used to call it the Total Grace / Eternal Torment channel. How can you see Paul's gospel and the hallmark of it, the foundation of it, which is grace, and still believe in eternal torment? This tells you that God is selective, very selective. He will give some people a great testimony concerning the salvation of all. Other people, a great testimony concerning the sovereignty of God. Other people, a great testimony concerning the two Gospels. Other people, I have found this online, their specialty is blowing up the Trinity. So these people have the death and the resurrection of Christ down pat, but they don't know the salvation of all. Calvinists understand the sovereignty of God. They don't know the salvation of all. And it's just, I'm talking about some big-time, heavy-hitting teachers. Martin Luther, he didn't know about the eons or the salvation of all. Great on the sovereignty of God and justification by faith, but the guy missed a lot. Billy Graham missed everything. Christianity misses every single one of these. They don't ride the lion, the leopard, the elephant, the rhino, or the buffalo. They can't ride the beasts, baby. They don't know any of these. It's remarkable. But here's the beautiful thing that I want you to concentrate on going into the weekend with God. And if you can think of some other big thing, I mean, these are the foundation blocks. If you can think of some other big thing, let me know. But I racked my brain over 40 years, and these are the ones I have come up with. And God has given every single one of them to losers like us. Can you believe it? This is God having fun. This is God just, it just delights him to take these mainstream celebrities like Billy Graham and Joel Osteen and these great preachers of the past, great preachers, Jonathan Edwards and the like, Billy Sunday, and he gives them nothing. And he takes people who try to be holy and try to live their life so circumspectly, talking about people like the Amish. And they try so hard to be holy and religious and circumspect. And they don't know anything. They are the stupidest people in the world spiritually. And it's not an exaggeration. And I'm using a scriptural word there. Paul uses it in Romans chapter 1. Assuming themselves to be wise, they are made stupid. And boy, that's the Amish, and it is definitely mainstream Christianity. We are also stupid in a lot of ways, but we are wise in the most important way possible, and that is the things of God. These are the most important things of God. These are things that matter. These are things of consequence, and God has given them to us on a silver platter, and he's laughing the whole way. He's laughing the whole way because all these other people that I just mentioned don't have it. They don't have every piece. They have some of it. But if you only have the sovereignty of God and you don't have the two evangelists, you miss the gospel of our salvation. And there's no saving faith there. Does the guy who knows all the beautiful intricacies of the difference between Paul's gospel and Peter's gospel, does he actually know what Paul's gospel is? I don't think he does. I don't see how he can, which seems like a miracle. I don't think he can because he believes in eternal torment, and he leaves it up to free will. The guy still believes in free will. All right, so start there. You are gifted by God. God has given you gifts. God has lavished you with all wisdom and understanding and knowledge of him. The sovereignty of God. This is the bedrock of everything. Nothing can come to pass. We can be assured of nothing happening that God wants to happen if God is not in control of every single detail of this life. The people who want to have their cake and eat it too. The people who want to say, well, you know, God's a little bit sovereign, but we have a little bit of free will. They want both sides. You can't have it. It's impossible. It's a conundrum to which there's no answer. It is insanity. Insanity. There's only room for one free will in the universe, and it is God. The sovereignty of God. And there's many passages in scriptures detailing it. Romans 9, one of the biggest. I mean, if Romans 9 has been in the New Testament for a long time, and anyone reading the Bible has no excuse for still believing in human free will. I know there are passages that seem to say that humans have a free will, but these passages show people doing things. But nowhere can they prove that the human beings are doing things without a cause. Doing things without any influences on them whatsoever, because that would be required. No influences whatsoever. That would be required if someone has a free will. And so, again, and none of Christianity is there. And so they're not even at. This is the foundation block. This is a building block. This is essential. This is not the things I'm telling you. Are not like technical truths. Oh boy, Martin's getting deep here. He's giving us some meat. These are building blocks. I mean, the details of these things are meat, but these things themselves, I guess they are meat, but I don't look at it that way. I don't look at it, oh boy, well, Martin's in the show. He's got some really sophisticated teaching there, and watch out now. He goes deep into the Greek and Hebrew. Well, sometimes I do, but this is not deep. These are basics. These are the basics. And how startling that the world's most popular religion knows none of these basics. The sovereignty of God. Next, the eons. Boy, if you mistranslate the Greek word ion, the Greek noun ion and the adjective ionian, if you mistranslate these words, you stick a wrench into the beautiful spinning wheel of God's revelation to humanity. It is absolutely essential to understand that God is working out a plan in a framework of time, and that the scriptures tell us about eons, not eternity. There's nothing in the scriptures about eternity proper. We don't understand eternity. How can you understand something that has no beginning and no end? You can't. God is working with eons. The word eternal everlasting, forever and ever. These words do not appear once, not once. And I'm staking my reputation on that. Not once in a properly translated scripture. When God wants to relay the truth of immortality, he uses the word immortality. The Greek word is a thanatos, which is not to die. That's the way God expresses timelessness, not die, not end. But anyone who insists that these words, ion and ionian, the Hebrew equivalent is olam, anyone who insists that that is a correct translation to make that eternal, that's it. You're done. You're done. You're useless as an expositor, as a teacher. Absolutely useless. You're done. You're not even at first base. You don't understand that there are eons. You think that sin and death and evil are eternal? And you're calling yourself a teacher? No. Go to the Kruger National Park and ride the elephants and feed the lions, whatever you feed them there, zebra meat, I don't know. Just do something besides purport to be teachers of the Word of God. You don't know anything. The reconciliation of the universe. I prefer this phrase to the salvation of all, because the salvation of all what? Most people concentrate, even those who know of the salvation of all, they concentrate just on the salvation of humanity, of all human beings. And that's great enough. But the reconciliation of the universe is found in Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. Through the blood of the cross, God will reconcile all things to himself. All things that were created will return to God. Romans 11:36 puts this out there in pretty plain words. All is out of God, all is through God, and all is into God. But we don't get the means to this marvel in Romans 11:36. We get that in Colossians 1:20. It's through the blood of the cross. This is can also be called the outcome of the universe, the end of all things. If you don't know where this thing ends, if you think it's a crapshoot, which you would have to think if you believe in free will, you've taken God off the throne, or worse, if you insist that Satan is going to have his own little world separate from God, that God can't touch. God wanted to touch it, but he couldn't. Well, I gave away my free will. Worst mistake I ever made. Once I gave it away, I couldn't get it back. I want everybody to be saved, but I'm helpless. Yeah, that's a pity. It's a foundation that God is in control and doing everything. He says as much. There's no excuse for not believing this either. I mean, relatively, there's an excuse all. Because absolutely, there's an excuse that God locks up the eyes of millions and billions of people. Romans 11:32, God locks up altogether in stubbornness. Why? That he should have mercy on all. But he has unlocked us. And we know that God has to be God in order to carry out his plan. And it's called, in Ephesians 3:11, it's called the purpose of the eons. Do you know what the King James has there? God's eternal purpose. Say that again. Eternal purpose? God is eternally purposing. He's eternally wanting to do something. That would be his agonizing state of frustration if eternal torment were true. But when you translate that verse correctly, you see the purpose of the eons. Oh, eons are periods of time, if I haven't mentioned that. That would be the leopard. Knowledge of the eons, that would be the leopard. The sovereignty of God would be the lion. The knowledge of the eons would be the leopard. If you don't know that God is working in periods of time, then again, you're lost. The reconciliation of the universe is the elephant. I think I called the two gospels the elephant. That was a mistake. I apologize. I want to correct myself here. People say, Martin, you can never admit when you're wrong. No, I do admit when I'm wrong. I don't get many opportunities, but here is an opportunity. I said the two gospels was the elephant. No. The reconciliation of the universe is the elephant. The two gospels is the rhinoceros. And let's get to the two gospels, shall we? If you don't know, or if a person doesn't know, that there's one message to Israel in the scriptures that has to do with law, with baptism, with circumcision, with repenting and forgiveness and inheriting the earth, and there's another message that has nothing to do with law, baptism, repenting, being forgiven, the earth. There's another message given to the Apostle Paul to the nations having to do with complete and total grace, celestial destiny, being justified, that is declared righteous, which is way different than forgiveness. We're no longer begging God to be nice to us, to forgive us our sins, but that's what Israel still has to do. If you don't know this, if God hasn't shown you this, then you're going to be lost in the scriptures because there are so many passages that would seem to contradict themselves. Why is Jesus telling his disciples, don't even go? He sends them out to teach, and he says, don't even go to a road of the nations. Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This is people's one and only chance to get saved. And he's telling them to stay away from 99% of the creation of the human beings on the earth. You see, when Jesus was on earth, his ministry was limited to Israel. It was when he became glorified and took off his Jew suit, and now he's in heaven, that he calls the worst sinner on the face of the earth, Saul the Pharisee, and he gives him a message that explains the big picture, how God is going to conciliate the world to himself and thus result in the reconciliation of the universe to himself. I explain this in glorious detail in my book, The First Idiot in Heaven. I wanted to write a book that puts all these five elements in one place, and I did that in The First Idiot in Heaven. Order now. Operators are standing by. And then the death and resurrection of Christ. Yes, what undoes this glorious truth? Why, the Trinity undoes it, because the Trinity says that Jesus Christ is God. We know God cannot die. And so, either you have to say that God died, and what I want to know is who was running the universe while God was dead. That's the one I want to serve and worship. Or you have to say that Jesus Christ didn't really die. And when you deny the death of Christ, you deny the resurrection of Christ. And seeing as the death and resurrection of Christ are the foundation stones of Paul's gospel, going back to the rhino there, then the buffalo of the death and resurrection of Christ is an essential thing to know. Because, in fact, the entire universe is reconciled. We learn this again in Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 20, reconciled through the blood of the cross. But if you want the details of that, and now we're getting into the mature meat, it is by the faith of Christ. The faith of Christ is what saved the universe, is what will turn everything around, and already has turned everything around. It's been signed and sealed. It is just waiting to be delivered. It's the faith of Christ. And Christ doesn't need faith if he didn't die. Unless Christ was facing the specter of non-existence, then where's his faith? Where's his faith? But when he lets go and says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, he is facing the specter of non-existence. And he didn't exist for 3 days. Talk about it. You see now the fear. You see now the trust in God. It's like, I'm letting go and I'm trusting you. You said you would raise me in 3 days. I'm letting go now. None of this going directly to heaven. If you don't understand death, actually this fifth point could be death, period, understanding of death. In fact, I'm tempted to make point number five, or truth number five, the buffalo. I'm tempted to make the buffalo understanding of death itself, because Satan's first lie was, you shall not die. That was Satan's first lie. And the immortality of the soul is the coin of the realm in every single religion. Man is noble. Man lives on. Nothing can stop the life of a human. Death is the greatest fear of the entire human race. Yes, I'm going to change the fifth point to death itself. To understand death is very important. It becomes more important when we speak of the death of Christ, because that's what God calls upon to reconcile the universe to himself. And that's where Jesus Christ's faith is definitely called upon, when he's facing the specter of non-existence. So, death, the reality of death. Without death, there's no resurrection. What are you resurrected from if you're not dead? All the Christians squawk about the resurrection, but they don't believe in death. No, they don't believe in death. Go to a Christian funeral. We rejoice that Brother Joe is with Jesus now. He's in a better place. Yes? No, he's dead. Look at him in the casket. He's dead. There's a future resurrection. Yes, Brother Joe will be back. But he's dead now. This is essential. This was the hardest truth that I came to. This was the last truth that I came to. I accepted the sovereignty of God and the eons and the reconciliation of the universe and the two gospels. I had all that. This was the toughest nut to crack for me. Death is death. But there's no excuse not to believe that either. The dead do not live until the 1,000 years are finished. Plain scriptural verse in Revelation. The dead do not know anything. Ecclesiastes 9:5. I mean, there are many places that speak of death as non-existence. And when you realize that, whew, the resurrection gets very large, looms very large in your mind. I used to think resurrection was the icing on the cake. No, it's the whole freaking cake resurrection is. It's worthy to be compared to a buffalo. I'm glad the buffalo has done service here. I'm glad for all these animals, the lion, the leopard, the elephant, the rhino, and the buffalo. I'm thankful for the Kruger National Park, where all the posers and fakers in Christianity who purport to be teachers, they should all just go there and get jobs driving the jeeps or feeding the animals or taking pictures. Just get the hell out of the podium and quit screwing people's lives up with your lies.